Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. This is Pastor Clint Poppy. Along with me is Pastor Adam Oline, Vicar Albert Bader. We serve here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Each week we look at the readings to help you plan and prepare for your upcoming worship. And today we're looking at the readings for the third Sunday in Advent. We usually get two Advent Sundays that focus on the person and work of John the Baptist. And while today we don't literally have Jesus standing on Jordan's bank and crying, we're pretty close. We're pretty close. So, Vicar, Matthew 11, 2 to 10, and, you know, we have this optional verse of verse 11. So why don't you just give us the whole enchilada, the whole kit and caboodle.
Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, and I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he."
I would say that that is a very significant verse that should be read, and we'll see if we can get our inserts adjusted to reflect that. Help me remember that, Pastor Moline. So, Matthew 11, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ. Well, we got two things going on here. We have A, the deeds of Christ, and B, the fact that John is in prison. So, I'm gonna let you take one of those, Pastor. Tell me, in a nutshell, how and why John ended up in prison.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a backstory that goes to that. Ruler at that time in this area was the Herodian dynasty. And, you know, Herod the Great, who was the king at the time of the birth of Christ, which is probably 28 to 30 years before this. And Herod was kind of a paranoid guy. He had quite a few children with a couple different wives. And when Herod dies, those kids divide up his former kingdom into four parts. Now, these are just puppet kings. They're kind of like governors in that regard, but they are all still underneath the authority of the Roman emperor at this time as well. So these different tetrarchs, or the four that took over for Herod, they all have wives and families of their own. The Herod, then, they're all named Herod, too, so it makes it more confusing. The Herod.
This is my brother Daryl. This is my other brother Daryl.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
So the Herod that is ruling in this area, he takes for his own wife the lady that had been the wife of his other brother. And John the Baptist, being a faithful pastor, says it's not good for you to sleep with the lady who is your brother's wife. It's not good for you to have this woman as your wife. So after much prodding from this lady, Herod arrests John the Baptist and holds him in the prison at his castle, Macarius, and actually Josephus mentions that John the Baptist was held in prison at the temple of Macarius, and in some of the excavations that have happened here lately, they even have a pretty good idea of the exact spot that John the Baptist was probably held in prison at Machaerus by Herod for saying that sleeping with your brother's wife is not a good idea.
So John is a faithful pastor. John ticks off the political quasi-church authority and ends up in the Chuspah. He's behind bars, and his fate is unknown at this point in time. Now, we also know that John had followers. John had disciples. John preached out in the wilderness, and throngs went out to hear him. He preached a baptism for the remission of sins. He dressed funny. He ate funny. And we got all these kind of things going on. So this John the Baptizer, he's in prison. And while he's in prison, he heard about the deeds of the Christ. Vicar, tell me some of the deeds of the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus, that John more than likely heard while he was in prison. What was Jesus up to?
Well, prior to this, in Matthew's gospel, we hear about a lot of the deeds of Jesus, such as healing blind men, healing lepers, healing lame people, calming the storm, and all these sorts of things, all pointing to the fact that he is the promised Messiah who was to come. He is the Son of God in the flesh.
Okay, so he's hearing about many of the miracles of Jesus. Maybe he's hearing some of the teachings too, but specifically here in our text, Matthew 11, chapter 2, it specifically says the deeds, the action. And Vicar jumped the gun a little bit. That's okay, because this is where this is all going. And John is convinced by the deeds of Jesus that this Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. How and why would John be convinced that Jesus is the Messiah based on the deeds that had been reported to him?
Well, he knew the Old Testament scriptures because he was a good Jew in that regard. He
went and also a faithful pastor.
Right, and a faithful pastor. And he went to church on a regular basis and heard the Old Testament where the prophets and even Moses foretell of the coming of the Messiah. And Isaiah says some of the things you look for is a guy who's doing the things the vicar just mentioned, healing the blind, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, ability to speak to the mute, the lame, walking, all these things. When somebody comes and does that, then they're the Messiah.
Okay. So the evidence is clear, and the message of John has been, this is not about me. This is not a cult of personality kind of thing where I want a new record contract and I want to build a fancy church in my name. John is very, very clear. He's preparing the way for someone else.
Yes.
He is preparing the way for the Savior of the world. In fact, early in the Gospel of John, after Jesus is baptized, John points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We also see that John said, "He, Jesus, must increase. I, John, must decrease." So there is no personality, cult leadership, rock star pastor attitude at all in John the Baptist. He's a quirky fellow, but he is a faithful man of God. He knows his scripture. He preaches the scripture, and he loves the people that God has entrusted to him. Right off the bat, verse 3. Well, I guess it's already in verse 2. He sent word by his disciples. So the disciples of John are the people that followed John, wandered around with him out in the wilderness, listened to his teaching, and they said to Jesus, John sends his disciples to Jesus, and they ask Jesus a simple word. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Now, Pastor, we could spend an entire program on this topic, but I don't want to confuse or bore our listeners. It is a very modern approach to look at this and to say, oh, that John, he was so depressed. He was so confused. He didn't understand his mission. And doubting John needs to be affirmed and confirmed. That's why this is happening. Why is that total barnyard manure?
Well, it's total barnyard manure because John, already in the womb, was the first person to recognize who Jesus was, leaping for joy in his mother Elizabeth's womb when Mary, newly pregnant, comes to visit Elizabeth. John had also baptized Jesus and said he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He'd seen the dove descend from heaven and heard the voice, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." John has been told and confessed multiple times that he knows exactly who Jesus is. And this is even the old way that the church fathers understood it. St. Ambrose thinks John asked this question neither in ignorance nor in doubt, but instead in a Christian spirit, in other words, for the sake of his disciples. Luther writes in his sermon for this this text, "It's evident that John knew very well that Jesus was he that should come, for he had baptized him and testified that Christ was the Lamb of God and heard the voice from heaven, just as I just said." So there's really no way we could say that because John's in prison, now he's doubting or whatever. He is still being a good and faithful pastor, even from the prison cell, and for the sake of his own disciples, and then, by extension, for the sake of you who are hearing this gospel lesson 1,000 years later, he's sending people to look to Jesus. He's pointing to Christ. That's what faithful pastors do. Faithful pastors get out of the way so that Jesus can be the predominant thing in the church.
Yeah, that's very well said. And I would submit that this text is in very, very real case, a text about doubt and worry and confusion with regard to the identity of Jesus, but not John. John is concerned about the doubt and the worry and the confusion of his followers, of the people that have been entrusted to him. And we want to unpack that when we come back and hear what Pastor John the Baptist is up to as we continue our look at Matthew 11, verses 2 through 11. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.